Hello, 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 hello. Okay, kisses. No? Alright. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Hendrix, get down. Why? Why? Get down. Don't ever record with a dog. Hi. You're the star of the show.
Yes, you are.
You're the star. You're on camera. Okay, get down.
Okay. He's just like, not having it. Go. Over there.
He'll be back.
Will he? He looks comfy over there.
Yeah, he'll be back.
He's just like, I'll be back.
Give him a break.
Okay, so let's start again. Hello, 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 hello. So, it's me, Emson, and this is another episode of Bartender on the Run. And since we are all stuck in the house during this pandemic, we thought that we would do some fun things and do Bartender on the Run. As you can see, we're recording. We'll see how much gets on, because... Anyway... So today we're going to talk about superstar bartenders. You know who I'm talking about. They tend to be a little extra. A little extra. Just a little bit. This is Erin over here. Hey, Erin.
Hi.
So I wanted to begin by, so usually what we do is that, I usually make a cocktail or something, but let's just say we had some technical, having a lot of problems.
We did have some technical difficulties with the bottle. Luckily I had Maker's Mark.
Yeah, she had some
on
stuff.
On the backup.
So I'm very upset. So I'm basically drinking a non-alcoholic beverage. Mine is basically triple sec with some honey and lemon juice. So it's really not anything. Ginger ale is actually really good. But it's not going to make me through my day. Anyway, so usually we talk about a drink. So that's our little thing on the drink. But today I really want to talk about those superstar bartenders. You know who you are. You know those people that are always behind the bar. Like, they feel as though everybody's looking at them, even though nobody has said anything to them. That's the best part.
Yeah.
When they, like, stand there, and they're, like, shoulders back, and they're like, what's up?
And Tom you're just Cruise like, and
yeah.
Back there.
And you're just like, hey, can I just get a slice of lemon? And they're like, wait, hold on. Like,
yeah, like,
I still just need a slice
of lemon. Just the lemon. Just the lemon. It's good for me.
Okay, so... This
not
is,
to say I don't appreciate
no. Let
a
me
good
explain.
Cocktail bartender.
So this is my thing. So we both work in the industry. We've been in it a long time. So I myself have seen it go basically full circle, where it started off where you had very few people who knew the ins and outs of being a quote unquote what they call now a craft cocktail bartender, and now it's come full circle. So you have different stages of being a bartender. You have some people who just open up beers and do shots. You have your speed bartenders, which I think you would consider yourself.
I think I'm
sort of a speed bartender / craft. I'm like right on that cusp. I think I'm more of a working bartender. Let me say it like that, because I've worked mostly corporate, so you do what you have to do in order to get through your shift.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever makes you money. But now there's this new thing with the whole craft thing, which I totally appreciate. In fact, you know, I'm all about learning. I'm all about teaching. I think it's amazing. But I think the problem that bothers me are those very few people, especially the ones who are new to the craft. I'm going to go ahead and start it with that. People who are very new to it, like these people were cropping up and they're just like, I've been doing this, been doing that. And it's just like, okay, so you're 7 and you've been doing this for 6 months.
Yeah.
I get that you have a skill, which you do, that you've practiced. I appreciate that. But that doesn't necessarily make you the best bartender.
I feel also like there's an environment for that type of bartender.
And there is. So
you
that's
know,
another
it's like
thing.
If I'm in a certain type of environment and someone is doing that, I'm like, what is you doing? But if I'm in a bar of that stash, if I'm
understand.
In that type of atmosphere, in a little classier place, in a little... you know, trendier type feel that is focused on craft cocktailing, then I really appreciate the extraness of
okay.
it all.
So now that you've said that, so this is my thing. It's not even about like the differences, it's more about that particular person for whatever reason feeling as though they are up here compared to everyone else.
Yes.
You know, the one you're the person that you work with that they will like talk down to you as though you don't know what's in front of you, like making sure enunciating on like equipment. and it's just like, what are you talking about? You know, you're just standing there doing a shift, and they're like going through like the ins and outs of how to like something. We all know some of these people. So this is my question. The reason why I thought this would be fun for us to do is because I myself want to know how they get to become extra. Like, was there a seminar that we missed? Like, did we, like, not show up for something?
I think sometimes them being pushed into a certain position makes them kind of feel a little...
I could see that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. It's like, oh, I think that it's the overpraise.
Yes.
So, and then the humility. You know, you have some people where you can... tell them how awesome they are, and they will like laugh along and be like, oh, thank you, I'm not doing anything that anyone else is doing, you know, that little humility. And then you have the other ones like, cheer them over there, you told me I was great, and it's like, yeah, they told me I was great too. So yeah. I mean, it's awesome,
we're all great.
In fact, because I sat here and did all the prep work for you so you could be so great, guess who's also great? I'm pretty great.
Yeah. You know those seven quarts of limes you've been through?
Yes, that was because of me. So then I really want to get into that. I just think that that is something, it's almost like having a child that you overpraise. So then they go out into a social setting and they feel as though they are the only person who has all these things wonderful, who's so wonderful. And then they get their butt kicked on the playground and they can't figure out what happened. And it's just like, well, you're not like the only person in the world. There will be someone bigger, better, and better than you. So I guess that's really what I wanted to kind of touch on. So even though this is like so funny, so funny. So what do you think, we'll start from the beginning. So what do you think makes a good bartender as opposed to a great bartender?
That's a hard one to say because I feel like different things could make you you could be good at something great, you know what I'm saying, like really good at something different than somebody else, and you could be equally as good.
Right.
Like for me, you know, a great personality and stuff like that can sometimes overpower even if you're a good bartender.
That is true.
And vice versa. I have done this for so long, I don't always have the sunniest disposition behind the bar.
As we get older and more mature in the business, our personalities are not as sunny as you would say. I think it's more, use the word professional, but it's more like, I came in to do A, B, C, and D, here's your product.
Well, it's just like, you know, when people, my worst pet peeve is, you know, when somebody, particularly a man, says something about me smiling, not smiling, or why do you look so angry? And it's like, sir, I have 7 different drink orders in my head. I'm currently doing math as well for this person. And like, no, I'm not going to be back here just smiling in your face. You can get one or two things from me. You can get smiling and this and that, or you can get some drinks.
Right.
And like for me, I think because I did work, and same for you, I worked in such high volume for so long.
Yeah.
There is no relying on your personality. Yes, you still have to have some version of a personality, but you are so busy that you don't have time for chit chat. You don't have time. It is literally like order, drink, go.
Right.
Like, that's it.
You're exactly right.
And so I think for so long I was in, because when I first started bartending, I was more like, oh, you know, because I worked in more like home feel type places.
Right.
You know, where you have the regulars and you're chit-chatting and all of that. And I did like that. But, you know, after doing the high volume for so long, I very much go into the zone.
Right.
That's why I love working the service well.
Yeah, okay.
I love working a service well.
I can see that.
I love just zoning into that.
Right.
Throw these drinks at me and just let me zone out.
Yeah, that's how I was too with the bar that I worked at when I lived in Cleveland. I mostly did the service well because of the same thing. just once I got into the zone, it just was like mechanic.
Yeah, I just moved.
And then my section was the service well, and then I think I had like three people to my left and right, possibly. Yeah. And if it was super busy, you had maybe up to 10 people to your left and right, depending on how busy it was. So I can totally understand that. But no matter where I've worked, and I will have to say that the longest that I've worked, been in the business for a really long time, I think out of all the superstar bartenders, quote unquote, that I've worked with, there literally was one bartender that I could actually say, you know what, I can see the reason why he feels that he is up here.
Yeah.
His skill level, knowledge, but then at the same time, he had been in the business for a really long time. The only difference was is that with his experience, he just didn't really have the humility. So he was all about, well, I did this, I did this, I did this. And you were like, okay, I can see that.
Like, yeah. You probably did.
All right, I got that. Yeah. All right. But then you have these ones that challenge, I guess what bothers me are the ones who like to challenge us old timers. You know, they come in and they're just like, well, I took a class off of this, that, and the other, and I know 14 bourbons, and I know how they're aged, right. Which is awesome. I think that's great. Education is amazing.
I have a lot of respect for
the
level, especially a lot of the newcomers, a lot of level of their knowledge.
Their dedication. Their dedication to learn.
Yes, they really want their knowledge.
I have no issues
with
that.
They really want that.
So it comes back to taking all that information and knowing that with everything that you know, there was always room to learn more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of times when you assume that you have knowledge that no one else has, which it's the business. We all have equal, some, like you said, may have this,
right.
May have that, blah, blah, blah. It's really just, I think, the humility. I don't know how many times that I've worked with people, and they're always young. And I just don't remember being like that when I first started. When I first started, I kept my mouth shut. If anyone asked me a question, if I knew the answer, I'd let them know. But I was never like, oh, this, that, and the other. I've been bartending for 9 months now, and I didn't.
But see, that's again, it's like, I didn't work in, I don't know, it was different. I don't even remember, like, I'm sure, obviously, started doing this, but I don't remember, like, it wasn't a big thing back then. Like, there wasn't,
no,
like, craft cocktail bars and stuff.
No,
like,
no,
that.
No. So
it was never like that.
It,
like,
wasn't. It was mostly like
high-end.
Right.
Absolutely.
Quote, unquote, your craft cocktail places were high-end places, like really high-end restaurants and hotels.
Correct.
So
I never worked places in places
where we worked,
like that.
It was volume.
So that's
a lot of your
and
clubs.
I have, you know, over the years, you know, in the past few years, I have worked at a couple of places that did some craft cocktailing, and I did learn a lot. I really did. But it's funny because I look back on it now, and I was the particular bar that I worked at in Nashville for a little over a year. I learned so much there, and it was crazy. Like, when I first started there, I was like, wow, I really don't know anything. I've been bartending for all these years, and I don't know anything.
Right.
Because to me, like I said, I'd always worked at one and done's. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like, either local dive bars or speed bar, you know,
right.
high volume bars, stuff like that. So when I got thrown into this, it was I literally felt so out of sorts.
Right.
Like, literally so out of sorts. And then I finally, like, learned so much.
Yeah.
And I got really fast, you know, at doing these cocktails. And it's funny because that was, I guess it's been like 4 years ago,
okay.
maybe more. And I retained very little of that. I went back to high volume. So in this place was on Broadway, so it was still high volume, but it wasn't a music venue. So it
okay.
was a different kind of volume. It was an actual restaurant.
Oh, okay.
But it's funny because I went back to the real high volume where you're, you know, the one done's. And, like, do I know a classic cocktail? Like, I can kill it on a Manhattan, an
right.
old fashioned, like, any of that. But it's funny because it's like things I didn't use for so long, like, I did not retain that.
Right.
And I do have a lot of respect for the bartenders that can create. You know,
yes.
Like,
no,
this
totally
flavor
understand.
Is going to go good with this and this and this. That is not me. You teach me the ingredients, the steps, I'll learn it.
Okay.
But that's not me.
I'm sort of in between and on the plane. I do love creating cocktails. I guess with my thing is it's really a lot about the humility of it. It's the looking down on someone else, feeling as though you're better because you've done this, that, and the other. So how I feel about it is that unless you are creating cocktails across the world and sharing that with love with everyone, you are in it just like I'm in it.
Like, we work at the same place.
We work at the same place, yeah. And you
we're
running around in a circle spraying stuff in the air is not helping me. Right now we've got 25 people and so far you've made 2 cocktails.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's really what my thing is. It's like, I guess it's sort of knowing your audience.
If you're a showboat type of bartender, like,
and that's fine.
Power to you.
And that's fine. So the difference is
we're
that
power to you, but there's a time.
I know that you know that. So my thing is that if you are a showboat, I don't even mind taking up the slack. If this is what you're good at and it helps us make
tips,
money,
yes,
I have
I'm
no problem
it.
With it. But then do not turn to me as though I am less than because I'm not up on stage like you are.
You've put on a show
because
and you
I'm
have
your
made
support.
Us money. You have.
Because I'm
but
your
I've
support.
Also made,
because while
I've
you're
also
over
made 10 more drinks.
Exactly.
Then you have
over
this
here,
time.
Over here, I'm in the front lines on that battlefield in the front.
Yeah.
I'm taking all the shots, right?
Yeah, we're,
I'm
we're
the one,
literally, literally.
I'm the one with the people being yelled at, going like this, while you're
and
doing
you're
your show over here, looking all spectacular. All these people are taken care of because I allowed you to do your show.
Yeah.
So it's it should be a partnership, but it's not. And that's the reason why I'm making a joke of this whole thing, that whole superstar. It's almost like a shout out, like, oh, I appreciate you. I just need you to bring it down to a 6.
Yeah. I need you to also realize that I'm working as hard, if not harder.
Yes. Again, it's a partnership.
Yeah, it is. I respect what you have going on.
Absolutely. So I'm not saying here,
and
even though
like,
I am teasing
you. I will, like, you know, depending upon who I'm behind the bar with. If I have somebody asking me for something this and that and fancy, like, I have no issues. I'll go to the people that I know that are like that.
Right.
And are really into that.
Right.
That really want to do that. Because to me, when somebody orders something like that, me on the inside is like, I'm not happy about it.
Not at all. See,
but Joe Schmo over here that
right.
I'm working with
and see,
is probably elated to do it.
I am not. It doesn't bother me to do the specialty cocktails. But I guess it's just more of a respect thing.
If it's a specialty cocktail that's on our menu that, you know,
no, I'm talking
I'm
about making up
it.
Someone for
but
someone.
Yeah, like making up something. Like, I'm not.
I think mine
I don't
literally
do it.
Is more of a...
I really don't
want to
do it.
Do I... I guess it's like, do we want to kind of knock these people down so they realize that you're in it with us? Or do we continue to hold them up on this pretend pedestal that they've somehow gotten up there?
Yeah.
And some days I come in and I look and I go, why are you, where did you get this step stool from? Like, what are you doing right now? It's like, we're all in here, down here, trying
back
to work.
Down.
I need you to come back down. Seriously, I need you to bring it down to a 6. I just think that's really hilarious. So then I'm wondering, the reason why people do that is, do you think that it's like a complex? So if we were to... say, off the top of my head, I know 4 people. If we brought them all together, are they the same type of people? Do you think, like, if we did a small experiment, like, you know, did, like, some kind of testing
like,
or something?
Would they mesh? Or
yeah.
Would they, like, yeah.
Right. It's just, like, is it, did they, you know, get extra kisses? Like, did they get cookies every time they did something good? Like, what made them feel as though this is the arena that they need to stand out on top, even though you're over in the corner making a mess. And you know they're over in the corner making a mess.
Leaving their mess. That's what really gets me.
Walking away from their mess. Well, because they're superstars.
You're in my service well.
Because...
getting all creative and doing this, and then you just leave it sitting there, and I'm like...
Because you're a superstar.
I'll
they don't
clean
pick
this up before
them.
I make the 12 tickets I have right here.
They
don't mind me.
Clean up after themselves.
That's my thing. That is my biggest thing. Like, it's funny because I have a very I'm a very neat bartender as far as
like, clean as I go,
my
yeah.
station. Do I pop bottle tops on the ground? Absolutely. I worked in high volume. We were slinging the bottle tops all over the place. I still do it. I'll sweep them at the end of the night. Relax. But as far as like my area and like if I use something,
put it back. It's clean.
Yes.
So exactly. That means that when I go for your muddler, strawberries aren't stuck to it?
Oh, no.
Okay. Because that is a pet peeve. Like when you go to pick up something and you're just like, what the? And
yeah, like, even though it's like in the water, if I have used it a lot, I'm emptying the water, I'm rinsing right. the thing out, I'm refilling
sometimes you have to
it,
clean
yeah.
off the tools.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. I am very clean in that sense. So like, and I know that not everybody works the same and like I'm okay with that. But as far as like, if especially if it's, you leave it in the well that I'm using, that's when I'm like, I can't, my blood boils and I'm like, oh, not right, I got it, you know. Oh, so the Lord. Sink is like right here beside you, like.
Oh, see, you're really nice, because when that happens to me, I go like this, oh, look at me picking up after you, blah, 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 this and that, really loud. I want to make you feel bad. I need for you to clean up. I'm not your mother.
Yeah.
I'm just not. Anyway, so I'm wondering, so do you think that it's just that they're spoiled, or do you think that it's a cover-up, like, they're pretending to do or be something that they're not quite?
I don't think that that's what it is. I think that they really fully, like...
You were about to say it. They really believe that they're themselves.
They which, really believe okay, in themselves.
So let me
and
start.
And that's fine. Again.
Again. So I'm not dissing the fact that you have a confidence about yourself. We should all have that. My diss, because I am dissing you, is that no, that's the whole point of this thing. Yeah. I am dissing you. My whole point of this is that I get all of that and I appreciate it, but there has to be some touch of humility with it.
Correct.
You have
yeah.
to know that there is someone out there that can take you down at any time. So to me, once you have it in your head,
yeah, you're not the best.
You're not the best.
Like,
I know you think you are,
like
but you really aren't.
Have you been published? Do you have a cocktail on that people know? Do you have, what's, like, that's what I don't get. It's like, I'm a super, like, supportive and empowering person as far as things like that go. Like,
right.
Like I said, I have a ton of respect for the knowledge that some people have.
Right.
That's not me. I, you know what I'm saying?
Like, right.
It's, I'm not like that. Not that I don't love the industry, but I've just never loved it to a point. I love the money. Like, I've never loved it to a point where I'm like, I really want to know all these names, and I want to know every whiskey ever made, and I want to, no, that's not me. Do I enjoy learning about it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, I am sort of in between. Yeah. I do love all the information. I don't know. It's intriguing to me. It's just like anything else. But again, I, you know, could take a trip somewhere and be like, oh, I learned all these things, blah, 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 blah. I don't, like, put up, like, a Snapchat with links, like, I went here and I learned all these things. Like, this, that, and the other, and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, like, I don't, when people do that, I just stand there and go, yeah, you know, we were in the same class.
Yeah.
So.
We all learned it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
We all know.
Yeah, let's stop talking about that. So I think that I don't know. It just reminds me of children, of being a spoiled child. So it's just like, this is the part that I come up and go, so what do we need to do to change? I don't want to say the attitudes of it, but how do we get them to accept the fact that they are down on the ground like the rest of us? Like,
I don't think that we will. I think it's, you just have to let them go.
Do we?
Let them fly.
Do we?
Let them fly. I've gotten to the point where it's like, I just don't care enough. Like, I just don't.
I don't want to use the word care. Because yes and no, it bothers
me. Does it annoy me?
It's
absolutely.
Very annoying sometimes. So I guess it's one of those things that, I guess if you can just like, take their little step stool away. Every once in a while, just kind of bring them down to earth. I think that would be okay. I mean, I'm asking. I'm truly asking. I mean, how do you deal with them on a regular basis?
I mean, I am all about knocking someone down. Arises.
Okay, so that came out wrong. No, seriously, I am all about it. I mean, it's not even personal. It's just, it's almost like when a cat gets up in a tree. It's like, you don't belong up there. Get down. It's like, shoot.
With the broom.
Yes, with the broom. Can we do that? Have like a little broom every time someone like slaps at them, and you're just like, stop it.
Get,
it's like we're
give it down.
Cuts.
Get back down.
We have 25 people. Put the cinnamon down.
Nobody wants any more cinnamon.
Nobody.
It's not fall. We're done. The cinnamon's done.
Put it down.
It's done.
Put it down. Put down the cinnamon. Back away. Back away. Okay, I'm gonna move all this out of your way.
Quit zesting. You've zested enough orange.
We need no more zest.
You've zested.
It's taking up too much time. I need you to stop. There are four people waiting while you're zesting.
That one man has enough zest. Meanwhile, I've made these 10 drinks.
Right. I guess that's really what it is. So it's like there is a time and a place. And the thing is that when there's no one there and you have one or two guests and you're like trying to impress them, absolutely. I think it's amazing to watch. I love that.
I get saying. I was but when say, it's like, crowded. When I'm in that environment, I'm like all about it.
Absolutely.
Like,
but
show
when you're
out.
Like surrounded by people, okay, it's a true story. Because this literally is the type of person I am. So I used to be a traveling trainer, so I came from corporate. So mine was mostly volume. I mean, we did like faux crab cocktails.
Right.
Where you had like fancy ingredients that were muddled or pre-made. Okay.
Right.
All right. I mean, I can do the other stuff too, because I've gone through all the teachings or whatever. But I remember, I was really busy bartending by myself on a Sunday night, and it was like balls to the wall. So this kid that I worked with, his twin brother, worked at one of our sister bars. So he had just gotten hired, and he came in for service industry after his shift. And he sat down, and I was like, you know, congratulations, welcome to the family, like this, that, and the other, like blah, 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 what can I get for you? And he looks at me, and he's just like, yes, I want to get a Scooby snack as a martini. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just like, I literally have people. So we had a round bar. It was more like an oval bar. So I had people literally wrapped around my bar, probably two or three people deep. And I stopped mid-walk because I noticed you and I wanted to get your drink out of the way as I was going to everyone
else.
Yeah,
well, we don't have time for
this. And then you
this.
Stopped me because this is what you wanted. And I looked at him and I looked at his twin brother and I was like, you need to get your brother. You need to explain to him how this works. I was like, you can have anything else. I'm not making that. And I walked away. And he complained to his brother, like, she's not making my drink. Like, how rude. But when he goes, dude, she's busy. She's not going to make that for you. That's like a layered martini. No,
yeah,
I don't have time for any of that.
Look around you.
I will make you. I was like, I will buy you a drink. So I made him a Jack and a Coke.
Yeah.
I made him a Jack and a Coke. And I was like, and I'll give you something special. And I put a lime and cherry in there. I'm like, you got this for me. And he just was so upset. And I'm just like, you need to learn that. Like, I'm in the middle of it right now. I don't have time to make this. I apologize. And it wasn't even that I didn't have time to make it or that it was a complicated drink. You are in the industry and you work for our company.
That,
so technically, you're not even a guest. That's literally my thought process.
That's, I'm the same way. It drives me nuts
when
a coworker orders
and
something.
And they're demanding.
Like,
absolutely.
When
not.
They order something fancy and
nope.
I'm like.
Mm-mm. Nope, absolutely not.
No.
And that's fine.
I'm not busy.
But you're going to win.
Busy,
if I'm not busy,
that's
I'll make
different.
You whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever.
And when I'm busy, absolutely.
Like, get a beer for crying out loud. Or
it's like, do you not see all these people looking at me? I don't have time for your drink.
And they're paying.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
nine times out of ten, you
are
not
paying me.
Right.
These are the people that are giving me money. Like, I'm sorry. I love you dearly, but this is not happening.
No, not today. Here you go. Here's your Jack and Coke with your lime and cherry. Enjoy.
Yeah. I have no issues telling people that. It was funny, I think I've told you the story before, where like one of our coworkers came down one day, like after a shift one day, I was like, I pulled an errand today, and I'm like, what? And he's like, man, he's like, this dude asked me for 3 old fashions, and I said, never.
Not today.
No. Not happening.
Okay, that's terrible. So what we just said there, those we had anger issues. I'm not gonna lie, which we should talk about that on our next episode.
Yeah.
We'll talk about our anger issues.
Just to clarify, I'm not gonna tell you no if it's, you know, unreasonable, if it's like a thing that's a reasonable request. If I am on a Saturday night, 5-6 deep at the bar, and you're asking me for a mojito or a whatever special thing that is going to require me, if you're asking, no.
Maybe we should get that superstar bartender. But hey, dude, they need 4 mojitos over here. You
got
that?
No. No, know your surroundings. Like, not necessarily a mojito. Like, that's not like the hardest thing to make. Really, but you know what I'm saying. It's like, if you're asking me for something that is time consuming, that's the point. It's not that it's a difficult drink to make. It's, I can make 5 rum and cokes in the amount of time that I'm taking to make this mojito.
Right.
Like, it's just know your surroundings.
Yeah.
You know,
another thing too is like one of the superstars, I won't mention any names. So when I'm really busy and I get multiple drinks that are the same drinks, I combine them. That comes from being in a speed bartender, because we make multiple drinks at the same time for volume.
Yeah, I'm not making, if I have 3 margaritas, I'm not using 3 tins for margarita. Okay. I'm making it together.
So behind the bar, the super particular superstar bartender literally stopped me what I was doing. It was just like, well, you should be switching it up. You need to. And I'm just like, these are all the same drinks. I literally just made 4. I'm about to make 3 more. They can go on the same tin. No. It needs to be from, absolutely not. Everything is still in the tin. It's like having dirty ice.
Correct.
Basically. And people may not know this, but if you put the right ingredients in there with the nice measurements, which means you do have to do a little math, it tastes exactly the same.
Yeah.
And you learn that from doing volume.
Yeah.
Now, there does come a point where it starts to disintegrate, but when you do it for such a long period of time, you know that I can get 7 drinks out of these materials, and then after that, I have to dump it.
Correct.
And then I got to start it over.
Start, yeah.
Okay. So,
also, if it's something I can build in a glass, I absolutely will. A mule. Anything that I can, you know, even if it's, sometimes I'll even just, like, with a mojito, because I'll just muddle the mint in the glass, rum, spritz it with the soda water,
right,
and then add the ice.
Okay.
You know, it's like, if it's something I can build in the glass, I'm building it in the glass. Like, I'm not out here shaking things that aren't necessary. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was different. Like, when I worked at the place I was talking about in Nashville, our mules were made with real ginger.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that. And we even had a ginger syrup that we made in-house.
So you guys made your own ginger?
I absolutely shook it.
Right. Well, you'd have to, right?
You know, because you had to.
Right.
For sure. But if you're working somewhere where the ingredients are literally lime juice, vodka, and ginger beer, I'm just going to put it in the glass.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Looking like this. She's looking at me and I'm like, I don't know.
Well, we had someone I work with one day was like, oh, are you just building it in the glass? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I was doing the same thing. And so-and-so was like, oh, you need to be shaking that. I was like,
first of all, I didn't know that mules were shaking.
There's nothing to even shake.
Someone write me. Someone write in bartenderontherun.com.
The only reason you would shake that is, like I said, if you were using a fresh ingredient, such as like a ginger syrup,
exactly,
a ginger, whatever, something like of that nature. Otherwise, it's just literally the liquor, the lime juice, and the ginger beer. Like, there's not even... So you're just going to shake the lime juice and the liquor?
Yes.
For what?
I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to take a quick break because I actually do have a sponsor.
Ooh.
So we're going to give them a moment to talk about whatever it is that they're going to talk about. And we'll be right back. it's Erin and me. This is Bartender on the Run. And basically what we're talking about is superstar bartenders. You know the ones we're talking about. Those bartenders that always have to have the limelight, be in the limelight. I don't know. I guess, like we were saying before, it's just, my thing is humility. I just think that sometimes the arrogance doesn't bother me, because I'm kind of arrogant. I'm sure you're kind of arrogant, because you know what you're good at.
Be arrogant about something.
But then there's
I'm
a humility
okay
about something. You know, I don't walk in a room assuming that I'm the person who knows the most, even if I am the person who knows the most. Because the thing is that you never know what people know. You never know. In my experience, I have found that you have no idea what it is that people have done in their lifetime. You don't know if someone, right. You don't know if someone has been published or whatever. So to walk up to them and assume that they are less than you, that is kind of an issue. I have a problem with that. And it's a string of arrogance. And that's, I guess, what my question is where does that come from? Is it just someone being spoiled, someone being put up on this pedestal that they don't deserve, constantly being told, oh yeah, that, you know, hand on the back saying, oh, you're so wonderful, and just because I'm the type of person that even if I am given accolades, I just sort of go, well, you know, it's part of my job. You know, I never take it like so far as to be like, right. Oh, well, you know, I just won like a blah, blah, blah competition over here to the left, or I've had 18
right.
drinks on a menu for a corporate company. You know, nobody knows about that. Do you understand what I mean? But I don't like walk into a room with like a little label that says these are all the things that I've done.
Here's what I've done.
Right. Because my thing is, you know.
Can we get some badges made?
That would actually be awesome. Maybe a band, a headband. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally joking. I don't think mine would say anything that would be... Okay, so then my suggestion is that I don't necessarily think that superstars are bad per se, but how do you get them to un-be superstars to where they can be a viable coworker?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean by
that? It's like... Be the superstar that you are. But also respect your coworker for what it is that they're bringing
exactly.
to the table.
Exactly.
Even if you're not the only one bringing something to the table.
Exactly. Because this is what I know. I work with a superstar that as soon as it gets busy, that person is shits all everywhere. Liquor's flying up in the air. Ice is all over the bar. Yeah. Just. But
or
I'm the person
gone.
To
or
the brain.
Or you're like.
Because there's too much stress for them.
Where have you
when
been?
It becomes busy.
Where have you been?
They get overwhelmed and they get angry because they're so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But here's my calm ass over to the right picking up your slack so that way to keep you calm. How come I'm not a superstar?
Or they're zoning in on that one person at the end of the bar. Meanwhile, you're like, okay, I'll take the other 50 people.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So it's like just... that equal respect of what somebody else is bringing to the table.
Right. So do you think, like I was saying before, to try to, I guess, teach or have them unlearn, like, how would you get that attitude to change? So to me, again, I'm actually kind of mean, my thing would be to point out any opportunity that I got to allow them to know that they are not as great as they think they are. I mean, I would do it in a nice way.
I feel like a lot of it comes with
age. Or do you think you should just ignore it?
Growing up, I ignore it for the most part until it affects me on a personal level. And then I'm like...
But see, when you're in my way, it affects me. If I'm cleaning up after you, that affects me.
Yeah. I haven't had a lot of issues, per se, with people being in my way, like, you know, recently, but... Like
yeah,
I said, I do have.
Yeah,
the
but
occasional...
I worked with you that one time, and you were just like, "Move."
Oh, I will.
I love it.
Or like, I'll tell, like, especially when I'm in the service.
Or I need you to get faster,
I
need you to move.
When I'm in the service well, and someone keeps making drinks there.
Yeah.
I'll let the first one hear their right, because sometimes that happens. Do you know what I'm saying? I get it. Cool.
Because you may have ingredients or something that
right,
are over
right.
there, and I need the space.
But
yeah.
when you are here in my well, and I have all, you're affecting me at that point, I'm like, I need you out of my well.
Yeah.
Please get out of my well.
Right. Like, take whatever you need over to your well.
Yes.
And bring it back. But
you know,
you
or sometimes I'm real good at the like. Joking, but not joking. You know, I'm like, girl, if you don't get out of this well.
See, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I definitely do it that way.
Yeah, I'm like, girl, if you don't get out of this well.
Yeah. Mine is very sarcastic.
Yeah. Girl,
I
if
mean,
you don't
so,
move.
Right.
Yeah.
It's sort of like playing or whatever. I try
playing,
not to be.
But also,
yeah, I try not to be.
Serious. Yeah.
I try not to come off as though I'm angry. I always try to do it in a joking
Same.
Way. Just because, unfortunately, in the bar business, we have a lot of very sensitive people. Unfortunately. Which is another thing too, because a lot of times the superstars are very touchy-feely. They don't feel,
yes.
they don't think they do not see themselves as that. But us being the audience, that's all we see. It's just like, seriously, what are you doing over there? It's just like, pick up your crocodile tears, it's okay.
Wish we could zoom in over here.
Oh, alert.
This, speaking of in their feelings.
So
my dog is very, very pathetic.
I know, he's very upset right now because he can't be over here. It's okay, we'll be done in just a few more minutes, I promise. So I'm just wondering that, like, we try to talk about, like, can you make them unsuperstars? Okay, you know what? I'm going to let that go. They're superstars. That's what they do. I just think that maybe it's almost like, I don't want to say having a protege. What is the example that I'm trying to say? Almost like having them learn their responsibility. Sort of like, as a superstar, that there are other things that go along with it if you want to actually be a superstar. It's not just, you know, being a showboat or going in front and saying, I'm a superstar, I'm in front. It's more like supporting everything else.
Right.
Like cleaning up after your own well, maintaining your temper, knowing how to speak to people, guests and coworkers. To me, that's what makes someone great.
Correct.
Where they have that full circle where, yes, they shine when it's time to shine, but then they know when it's time to be in the background and do things from behind the scenes.
Right. Correct.
Does that make sense? So that's, I guess, probably my biggest issue. So it's just a matter of them understanding that in order to be up to the top, that there are other people pulling strings to keep you up there. It's not just you. Is that what I'm trying to say?
That makes sense.
Okay. So we're really going to be doing, I think this is fun where we don't do really long ones. Like, normally we'll just do like little quick ones. Especially something like
we
this.
We get long-winded like, at times. We really get very...
You really do.
I think also we get a little tipsy, which is not... Has not happened today on your non-alcoholic beverages, and I've been taking it real easy on my whiskey over here.
Oh, we did. So, that's because we're in the middle of a pandemic. I couldn't get the bottle of my alcohol.
It was stuck.
We need
alcohol for the pandemic episode.
Oh my lord,
we can't do
most
that.
Most definitely, we are definitely going to do that next. We're going to talk about that.
We're out here. Just side note, we're out here on day. I don't even know what day.
Today's
Friday.
So we are on day 18.
Yeah,
day 18.
Shit wild, y'all. Shit's real wild.
That's hilarious.
Florida is on lockdown, apparently, but
we're not on lockdown.
Lockdown doesn't mean the same to Floridians as it does for most.
No, not at all.
We're gonna be the one state holding everybody back.
That's not funny. We should laugh about that. So
when y'all wonder why we can't go back to work and stuff,
it's because of Florida.
It's gonna be Florida, y'all.
It's gonna be Florida. Absolutely. Y'all. Okay. Now that I said that, so anytime I do this, of course, if you listen to my podcast, I always like to end it with sidebars. So, and it usually pertains to what we're talking about. And I always have three. So my sidebars today, the very first one is stop praising the superstars because they really haven't done anything. They really haven't.
I wish... I'm just trying to keep my mouth shut. Might revisit this topic.
Okay.
At a later day.
Okay.
Because right. I could go into my real feelings on some of these things, but it might not be the best for my employment, which I currently don't have, so it doesn't really matter.
That is true. So number two is humility. I need you to live it. That's all it is. Just live it. Okay. And then number three, it's not that we don't love you. We're talking about the superstars, because we do. We just don't love your superiority.
Yes, because I do love these people.
And I do. That's the thing.
I think that's one of the reasons why I get so upset. There are things about them I really love.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the thing. And I think that is the reason. You have to realize that everything that I try to bring up to talk about are things that bother me because it becomes like a pet peeve. And these are one of my pet peeves. And it's because you love and care about these coworkers,
right,
or these people that you've even seen. Like, I've gone to other bars and learned to like someone. And then just to see the arrogance, and you're just like, I don't like you anymore.
Like, I don't know about you.
Like, last Tuesday, you're really cool. What's going on today?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, what turns this person Like, yeah. Do we need to create something like a venom or a drip? Girl, we need to really work on what was it we were gonna do before our little stupid walk up and like
yeah. our Mister or whatever it was.
There's something
misting
wrong with us.
Misting people with a positive attitude.
This is Bartender on the Run, and basically it's her and I sitting up and we're talking bullshit about the bar business, which we absolutely love. Don't get us wrong. Absolutely love being a bartender. It's amazing. Just some pointers, whatever. So if you want to come on, you can just contact me at bartenderontherun.com or you can bartenderontherun@gmail.com. Send me a message if you want to link up, and then you can record with us if you'd like. But we're gonna go ahead and go because we got nothing else going on. I gotta finish my non-alcoholic drink over here.
This pandemic, y'all, is that out here. We couldn't even get the bottle of vodka open.
Couldn't even get it open. All right. So anyway, I want to sign off. So my name is Sim. This is Erin over here, and I am a bartender on the run. That's awesome. I love it. It's short.